What do you appreciate about Ridley Gregg's game?
Everything. You know, he's a bit of a throwback. You know, the 200-foot game. He's physical, he's smart, he's competitive.
How are you a different player than you were back in December?
I think for the most part, probably just my strength. I put on a couple pounds, so I think that'd be the main part. I think for the most part, I just caught him with his head down. I think it was pretty clean, so kind of went from there, yeah. Yeah, it's a huge part of the game still, and obviously for my game, for myself, I always like to lay the body around a little bit, so yeah.
Check will send us back around the boards. Romero will try and get it down low. On and off the stick of Kurtz to the front of the net. Score! A bouncing puck that ends up on the stick of Menchiak. He'll get it across. And Czechia is on the board.
TSN 1200.
Welcome back to TSN Mornings here on TSN 1200, fourth and final hour. Lever Sage in for a vacationing JR. Got Simmer here. He's in his usual spot. And Cam is here for the vacationing Matt Hamer. And Simmer is going to be a part of the World Junior coverage. We heard there from Dave Cameron. We heard from Ridley Gregg. And Canada, Latvia begin the World Juniors tonight in Edmonton, 5:30, the pregame. Simmer, you and Jim Taddy going to take care of some of the pregame and the postgame. As Canada gets going, they drop the puck. It'll be live right here on TSN 1200 at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see Lee. Again, going in kind of, hey, you know a few of the players. Obviously super pumped to see Ridley Gregg and just kind of, hey, see what's out there. Do a little scouting, a little watching, understanding Latvia is not much of an opponent, but still. You'll get a pretty good feel. Also kind of curious to how the crowd's going to look and just kind of the vibe around the tournament. Obviously, a lot's been going on with Hockey Canada, the World Junior, in a negative way. And also the simple fact that starting early August, not something that we'd ever see in our life, we thought we'd see in our lifetime, Lee.
It started yesterday, the tournament, yeah. And the U.S. gets off to a very nice start. 5-1 win over Germany, outshot them 50-11. And Czechia, or the Czech Republic, over Slovakia 5-4 with a late goal in that one. And Finland, a fairly easy time with Latvia, Canada's opponent, as they beat them 6-1. I got some baseball to get to here, and I think a couple of really good stories. First of all, let's get to some of the good stories, Simmer. And in Little League, I think a lot of people saw this go viral yesterday, but if you haven't heard this story, a pretty good show of sportsmanship and what the game is all about at the Little League level because, well, here is what happened in a game between East Texas and a team from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, look out.
So this is really cool because as a pitcher, Bubs looks shaken up right now because of what he did. And look at Zay Jarvis. This is such great sportsmanship. He wants him to know that it's okay, that he'll be fine.
Hey, bro. Look at me. Look at me. You're all right.
Amazing.
You're all right. Look at me. Hey, look.
So I know that doesn't necessarily translate on radio, but it was a really good indication. So here's what happened. Isaiah Jarvis was at the plate for Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he was hit in the head with a pitch, and it looked like he could have been very, very seriously injured. And the pitcher for Texas East was very shaken up about this, being able to put somebody in that position. So Isaiah Jarvis, Simmer, got up, went to first base, but it was clear the pitcher was very, very shaken up by this. And so what did Isaiah Jarvis do when he went to first base? He left first base after they called timeout, walked up to the pitcher, and you would think in that circumstance, right? You just got hit in the head. It's a very competitive environment. But Isaiah Jarvis went over and gave the kid a hug and told him it was okay, not to worry about it, that he's okay, and he wanted him to see that he was okay. I thought it was a fantastic thing to do.
Yeah, and I don't know if the pitcher did pee-pee in his pants.
Oh, boy.
But hopefully we'll see this in MLB.
See, when, I'm trying to bring a feel-good story here to TSN Mornings.
When I launch a bomb at a guy's head.
Well, he didn't mean to, sir.
I never said he did, Lee, but I think you should go over and make sure he's okay. Versus, hey, man,
I get it.
You just hit me in the head.
Yeah, but I think he was 12 and he was so shaken up, okay. Just like you are right now.
No, but I thought the whole moment was going to be the pitcher going somewhere. The poor fella has just overcome, but it's just such a reversal, right?
Yeah.
But in the MLB, for now on, if you get hit in the head, I want you to go and hug the pitcher and make sure that he's okay.
Well, if he's broken up and he's sitting on the mound crying, then maybe I will go over and give him a hug.
No, you won't, Lee. But it is a nice moment. But that was the part that resonated with me. And just thankfully, the kid wasn't hit. I mean, it looked like it was a pretty hard throw up and at him. Thank God for the good batty helmet. So yeah, that's my take on that.
You must be getting old, Simmer, to feel like this.
No, it was just those moments, and they're just kids, right? And we even at the Little League World Series. What age is that? Is it under 14?
Under 13.
Under 13. Again, just a kid, so you totally understand. But it just you get to that emotion. We've all been there. You break down and you just all of a sudden are frozen, right? The kid didn't know what to do, and everybody's coming out, and he's got his glove up against his face, kind of hiding, and it was a nice, nice moment.
And why I say you might be getting old in that take, Simmer, because today is your birthday.
Yeah.
Little Ramones? Simmer, I didn't know this before. Couple of texters in wishing you a happy birthday.
Yeah. No, very kind. Some people on Twitter. I don't know what you really like. I'm not going to roll in with a birthday cake for myself or say anything. So interesting. And
I think you should.
Depending on the calendar, whether it's a weekend not working. But I guess I'd say in my lifetime, Lee, and from God, I think this time as a younger man, I was probably at the World Junior tryouts, let alone now covering a World Junior. That starts in August. So, much appreciated for everyone on the shout-outs there. And always a nice day. Not a whole lot going on other than working the World Junior today. But she's a gorgeous day out there and having some fun with you guys. And, always good vibe.
Well, happy birthday.
Thanks, brother.
Wish we said that before.
Oh, gosh,
but
no worries.
At least we got it in. One of the best things you said last week, you wished Chris Holsky a happy 40th birthday party at the very end of the program. We didn't have a chance to have him in. So I go to the Red Blacks game, and there's Chris Holsky with his father celebrating his 40th birthday party.
That's awesome.
And I thought, yeah, that's awesome, until he watched the Red Blacks play.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and then they scored 3 points for him on his birthday, and he had to leave a little early, and I think he left a little angry that night. But anyways, happy birthday to you.
Thanks, brother.
Simmer, I'm sure a lot of people will be celebrating you with your family on your birthday. Will they be celebrating in Pittsburgh Rodolfo Castro? Funny moment, or maybe it isn't. And I'd like to get your opinion on what happened to Rodolfo Castro. Who is that? Well, he got called up by the Pittsburgh Pirates in a game against the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. And, here's what happened.
1-2. Might have broken the bat right there. And that's going to drop in front of Thomas. Castro hustling into third. Have you ever played with a phone in your pocket?
No. I mean, we didn't have cell phones back when I played. I don't understand that even a little bit.
It's Rodolfo Castro is apparently playing with his phone. Watch when Castro slides into third. His phone comes out of his pocket. Now, that's a first. And there's Adam Hammery. Dude, your phone is down. Hey, right there.
So Rodolfo Castro, 23 years old, he gets called up to the Pittsburgh Pirates and slides into third base. And quite clearly, he's got his cell phone, Simmer, in his back pocket and slides into the bag. Cell phone completely comes out of the pocket, very visible. the umpire, Adam Hamari, sitting there kind of looking at him like, hey, dude, there's your phone. Mm-hmm. So then Castro kind of gets up, picks his phone up, goes to hand it to the third base coach, Mike Ribello, who has this look on his face like, you have to be kidding me. Like, I'm not touching that. He finally took it from the kid. But it's a funny moment, but I can't imagine being called up and having that happen to you. Yeah. Would be a very good look at the professional level for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
No, it would end up being a teaching moment, Lee, and must be an incredible thing when you think of how you handle this at whatever level. And I'll equate it to the World Juniors. Cell phones. Where do you have them? Where do you not have them? Social media, how much you're following. In this case, I don't care if you're old school, new school, not allowing that to ever be in the dugout, right? I mean, that right there should be a fine for a team, and it's just a real bad look, but it's not the end of the world, Lee. It's a teaching moment and just understanding of what cell phones have come to mean for everybody in their life and for a lot of people, and I could even put myself in there. I'm a slight addiction, you know? I mean, that's the world we're living in right now, Lee. So, but you just say, listen, that can't be happening again. That looks bad on everybody. Keep your focus here.
Yeah, because I think what this means is that not only do you get called up, but your phone is in your hand,
yeah,
right? When you're sitting in the dugout, you now have put it in your back pocket as you've gone to the plate.
Well, I will say this though, Lee, and this is what's strange. First of all, I don't want to sit on my phone when it's in the dugout. The phone would break, but also be uncomfortable. If he was ever using his phone in the dugout, that would be on TV. Other players would see it. Is he sneaking down underneath to use it? You know what I mean? I can't imagine that a 23-year-old was sitting there. I've never seen an MLB player texting on his phone in the dugout. Have you guys?
I've never seen a guy have a cell phone out of a pocket
That's my point. And to that, now you could say, well, you know what? I forgot it, which I find it hard to believe. But are you dipping away and, you know, heading down the hallway or pretending you're going to the bathroom or you texting somebody? So, yeah, it's not a good look. But, man, I've got to think that this is a big, big obstacle. What we had the report a few years ago to Vancouver about one of their picks being addicted to video games. We had the Patrick Mahomes or the quarterback with Arizona.
Kyler Murray.
Supposed to get the 4 hours of study in because people say he's addicted to video games. It's a very much a real thing, Lee. And I can't imagine how. I don't really care that you're playing video games. I don't care that you're on your phone. What I worry about is a focus. And what I worry about more than anything with a young athlete is making sure you get some sleep. I can't imagine being a young kid and you know, you're texting your girlfriend all night or you're watching Call of Duty. How you shut this off at some point would be really, really difficult. And I understand the addiction level on both of them.
I remember back in 2015, Pablo Sandoval got caught liking women's photos on Instagram during a game. So right. I think you have to be careful with like a lot of that stuff where people can track it and see like on Instagram if you like it, the other people can see.
Yeah, I think we've seen some people tweet out at halftime. Then you saw Antonio Brown years ago. Didn't he do Facebook Live when Tomlin was speaking?
Yeah.
Just before they're going to go in and play the Patriots, and they got roasted by the Patriots. So. Yeah, I'm sure a development camp, you know, it's a big discussion now, really, for athletes.
And I don't disagree with what you guys are saying. At least I can say, and those incidents are all bad, but those ones happened off of the field. Like, Paolo Sandoval is sitting in the dugout or going down underneath, and he's on his phone while he should be in the dugout, but he wasn't on the field. This kid had his cell phone in his back pocket while he was at bat and then while he was on the bases. That's incredible to me because of where he must have had it before that. As you said, Simmer, did he dip down below and then suddenly never sit on the bench? He was checking his phone. And all of a sudden, it's like, Castro, you're on deck.
And these are athletic fellas. Not that it matters, Lee, but in your tight baseball pants, it's not like you sit on it and you don't realize it's there or pretending it's comfortable, right?
Well, that's my point is to you. Yeah, my point is to you is that you make a good point. I'm not sure he ever sat down in the dugout.
It feels like
he went down, started checking his phone, realized, oh my God, I'm on deck, and then raced up the tunnel. And I don't have any proof of this, but you're right. There's no way it was in his back pocket and he just sat on his butt for the rest of the inning.
And the other thing from an addiction level, Lee, I would not doubt how many athletes, when it comes to girlfriends, or more importantly for a young athlete, if it's your parents, your mom or dad, how many have gotten into a pattern at a very young age of texting your parents right up until you leave the dressing room to go on the ice, or in the case of baseball. And again, for a young player, were you texting, hey, I think I'm going in, I think I'm going to hit, wish me luck, or, you know what I mean? There's some patterns there that I'm sure have really changed the way you look at it. And then I also, you know, and it's interesting because now the iPad that they're on in the bullpen is completely work-related, but also kind of funny. Well, you know, Coach, I was actually watching video of the pitcher and to see what he's doing, which I know he wasn't. But, you know what I mean? The adaptability, I guess, to my point, Lee, is just, yeah, man, this is it's a wild world. And then you kind of debate, well, you know, do you want old school where a guy's out of his hotel room and getting hammered, or would you prefer he just stays in and plays video games?
The other thing is,
you're trying to always create the balance, I guess, is my point.
I kind of wonder if there's a cheating angle to this, right? Like, what if, like, I'll text you so you get a little buzz in your back pocket when there's, like, a fastball
It's a really good point. You're a new kid. Yeah. You're looking to have some early success, and I wonder if somebody will notice. Like, I mean, it's a big phone, so it's not like you're really trying to hide it at that point, because someone can see at some point that your phone is in your back pocket.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, I wonder if there's a buzzing.
You can put gloves or something to kind of hide it, right?
Oh, but you don't have to hide it, Cam. And hey, what a great point you make. And maybe it's also a fun game in the dugout. Who makes the first butt call from sliding around? Do you get butt pictures that you send to friends? But what Cam just said right there.
I agree.
That's kind of the scary part. That makes a lot of sense as to, yeah, all of a sudden that going off. Now, I'd like to think, guys, if you're going to do that, though, you could probably simplify the device you're using.
Exactly.
But let's go with it anyway. Lots of different conspiracy theories. I'm going to go young and immature, Cam.
Hiding in plain sight, right? It's too obvious. Well, I mean, I couldn't be cheating.
Back to the Astros, if you're using a mechanism, although they were using electronic stuff, right? Altuve.
Oh, yeah. Altuve had the thing running down his... Yeah, he wouldn't take his sweater off because, his wife loved the... What was it? His wife didn't want him to take off his
tattoos,
shirt. Show his tattoos.
Yeah. His abs.
Yeah. Or his device that was signaling the pitches that was coming. Yeah. But anyway.
I like the camster, though, getting creative there.
I do, too.
And like, you got to come up with a lot of different theories
in plain
as to what this ended up. But again, that's a part of trying to, with teams and with young athletes. And I always go to the World Junior League on, first of all, controlling your sleep pattern. But controlling negativity, and, you know, I don't really understand why any athlete is on social media.
Yeah.
And more in the case of Twitter, I don't understand what could ever be positive from that. And people that are willing, like even Kevin Durant, how this is just eating him alive.
Yeah.
To get into that mindset as you're approaching a World Junior and you're reading things on Twitter after things go wrong. I'd be shutting that right off and making sure, hey, if you have an account, you have a phone, that's fine. Well, let's just put those things away here come tournament time.
Yeah, no question about it. So interesting with the 23-year-old that just gets called up and phone flies out of his pocket as he slides into third base. Something you can always say in sports, there's always something you've probably never seen before that will happen in a game. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about the new trend in baseball, and is Edwin Diaz making himself one of the more popular players in baseball because of what he's doing. So we'll talk about that when we come back here on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200. Now we're getting back to my youth, Simmer. Welcome back to TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.
This would have been right in the, 87, 88, right?
Yeah.
So playing in the Ontario Hockey League and became a popular tune on the bus. And this was the start of the Beastie Boys. A
couple of lip syncs, I think, in elementary school, grade 6, grade 7.
Oh, yeah. Get rock on to this one pretty good.
When that album came out, very, very popular in my area. Speaking of music, we've had this trend for a little bit. A couple of people. We know in baseball, guys have their walk-up songs. And, you know, in hockey, their goal-scoring songs. But what we really haven't heard all that much. I know there have been different closers that have had their music. But we got a new one this year, and Edwin Diaz's Trot from the Bullpen has been making waves. And here is Edwin Diaz. He is the closer for the New York Mets. And Simmer, here is his kind of closer walkout music to the mound. We'll be right back. That is the Blaster Jacks and Timmy Trumpet's Narco electric music entrance for Edwin Diaz. And the Mets, now this has become such a big thing that they do not go to commercial in the ninth inning if Edwin Diaz is taking the mound. They go through kind of this whole song and dance of watching him prepare and the music that gets ready, and then it comes on and then he comes out. And it really reminds me of Mariano Rivera, right, with Enter Sandman with the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
First of all, do you like this?
Oh, I absolutely love it, Lee. I actually thought it had some heritage effect, to be quite honest with you, the kind of the trumpets going, and I don't even know his nationality, but I kind of thought it was Mexican. But no, I think it's so cool. The other one was Papelbon used to do the shipping out to Boston. You know, when he'd rock in, I think that's what he had. But hey, any of these entrances, I think are really cool. And the setup, and it kind of takes you a little bit back, Lee, to, I know Tom Henke wasn't the sexiest guy in the world, but that was when the whole closer thing started to take on a life of its own, right? And you're coming out and everybody's getting fired up and, you know, you're going to be this big, hard-throwing guy and something like that. And for the season the Mets are having as well, and to see the reaction of the fans, oh, I think it's absolutely cool. And I'm sure he loves it at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, how can you not, right? Yeah. Everyone getting fired up and coming out. Does it? Do you have any others? Like, for me, it was Trevor Hoffman. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Cam, you're the baseball expert and aficionado, but I think it was Trevor Hoffman for the Padres that came out to Hell's Bells.
Yep.
AC/DC, it was. And I loved it.
And I think Papelbon had something. And I just remember him, he was dancing to the Dropkick Murphys when they won the World Series, but I also thought that was what he had. And then did Eric Gagne not have a little something? And I know he was roided up, but when he was the Dodgers, I thought he had a little something as far as an entrance. So, hey, if you're popular, you're the closer. And I just think for everybody, including the pitcher himself, like, what an incredible shot of adrenaline right there, Lee.
So does it matter if he blows a couple of saves? Would you continue on with this for the rest of the year?
Oh, I of course I would. Now, if it became mentally, you know, where he's not feeling it or he's uncomfortable with it, I would for sure. But no, at the end of the day, like I said, it's just cool, you know, and the Mets have really in a hurry for what has just been a hot mess on every darn level for so many years. Feel like they've kind of finally righted the ship a little bit, and something like this would, and you understand, you know, the diversity of the Mets fan base, they would just absolutely love this. And the little videos, and there's some different fans that are dressed up, I think, kind of in a Diaz theme.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think it's cool. Yeah.
Diaz, too, they brought him in on a big ticket from Seattle, and he had a couple of rough years where he wasn't living up to that contract, so this has been kind of a really resurgent time for him. And yes, I do believe Jonathan Papelbon was shipping up to Boston. I Googled, and that's what I came up with.
I'm shipping out to that could be AJ song, right? I'm shipping out to Qatar.
Well, I hope he gets there on time. You see,
and I got a lot of the texts yesterday after the show about, I was trying to remember, you've loved that loss, that love and feeling.
Love and feeling.
You know, and it was just so funny to raid. And as soon as I got into my car, so typical of, and I'm not good with music at all, Lee, but I was able to, at least in my own feeling, actually get most of the lyrics and sing the song to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Where I could never, I couldn't put it all together here with the pressure that I was under the air to deliver.
Yeah.
But had a lot of texts from people after. It was pretty funny.
I love this about baseball. I think it needs more theatrics like this, because when Mariano Rivera used to come out of the pen, it was a stand there and watch it. You cannot go away from the television moment for me. Now, maybe not for everyone, but just the whole theatrics of Enter Sandman coming in and that slow walk that he
Once again, it goes back to your wrestling background, right?
Yeah, theme music.
Exactly. The other difference, guys, and what is different about where Mariano was at, now it signified the end of the game, right? The intimidation factor, too. And when you're a Hall of Famer, that whole feel when he rolls out is more like, okay, night's over. That's, you know, that fine line you ride as an athlete. Because I'm sure when you want to talk about this, of course, what's his name? Wild Thing for Philadelphia. They would have been playing Wild Thing when he came out, would they not?
Mitch Williams,
right? And that was one of the biggest gong shows of all time, watching him throw the ball. Because nobody, including Mitch, Wild Thing, knew where it was going. But I'm sure they were playing Wild Thing, were they not?
Yeah, I don't know if he had kind of the orchestrated entrance like Mariano Rivera did.
He was a pretty emotional guy, Lee. I remember him coming out, though, and, man, he was a bit of a flash in the pan. But I'm sure. Remember how hyped up and how fired up he was coming out?
Yeah. Okay? I love this from the New York Mets perspective, mm-hmm. too, because it feels like they've taken at least their place in New York against the Yankees. They have a great record. Now they have the cool closer with the cool music coming out. And that's what the Yankees used to have, right? And they don't quite have it anymore. And I love that that rivalry is picking up again. And it matters how the New York Mets are doing. And the fact that the most famous closer music in baseball of all time was the Hall of Famer Mariano Rivera for the New York Yankees. And that the Mets are doing something that everybody's into. I'm a big proponent of stuff like this. And you're right, Cam. It is a little bit of the wrestling background for me, loving the entrance music. But I think baseball needs a little bit more of it. Like, I want to know. The Mets are, like, if I'm watching, because I don't love the New York Mets. So if the Mets are leading the Braves 4-3 and that game happens to be on, I'm sticking around for Edwin Diaz to come out.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, I think it's really, well, how can it not appeal if you're a sports fan? Just because you're mixing the energy, as you said, and the entrances back to, you know, Hulk Hogan and anybody that ends up following the WWE, Lee, it's legendary. Like, and also what is cool about that is it's one thing, and you think about the signing with LeBron and how bad that looked when he went to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was the embarrassment of the athletes. Like, in wrestling, you got to be on board and you got to be able to deliver, right? Make something out of nothing.
Yep.
And that's not easy to do. Like, and you look at a guy like The Rock and how you're able to parlay that. Look at Hulk Hogan, right? You know, how you're able to parlay this incredible scheme of building everybody up and getting everybody fired up. And, you know, you're working and you're also doing it live. You know, it's almost like being on Saturday Night Live. You're doing this and it's got to be perfect. It's got to get everybody fired up. And somehow they have to feel just a little bit of it being real. They got to feel like, oh, man, I think he's really upset tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's making people care about you.
Yeah, for sure.
And look, in wrestling, we all know that it is scripted at the end of the day.
And it's even like performances like the Tragically Hip-ly.
Yep.
Like it is, you know, you're going into a performance and you have everybody just being like, hey, for a little bit here, this is going to take me out of my world and I'm just going to enjoy this.
Well, and that's it, right? It's why people go and watch movies.
Yeah, for sure.
I always say to people, like, that make fun of wrestling. Well, you do watch movies, right?
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Like, you understand that it's going to end the same way every single time. Like, you get that, right? Yeah. And that before you go into the theater, it's already planned how this movie is going to end. But you still go and watch it because you're right. It takes you away from the day-to-day life, and it takes you away for a couple of hours to not have to think about some of your problems.
Yeah, and there's also never disputingly when you watch it that they're great athletes, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, you're not pulling this off as just some let's dance around outside the ring when you hop in.
It's changed a lot. And I think in the 80s and the 90s, it used to be the way that, you know, just kind of the bigger you are and the more circus like you were, then it was going to be that. But you're right, now they're much, much better athletes.
Did I see where the guy that's that kind of YouTube guy that ended up doing some boxing, is he into wrestling now?
Oh, Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I saw a clip of him.
And he's really good.
He looked great.
No, he's really good.
Wow.
He's way better than I kind of wanted him to be. Like, I wanted him to be this guy. Maybe I'm protective of the wrestling business, right? But these people that come in that think, oh, I can do this. Oh, and because they're big celebrities or YouTubers or whatever, they come in and it's like, oh, they're celebrity appearance and they're not going to look very good. But he has come in and been incredible.
Yeah, and he looks the part, and I was watching a couple of his moves and I'm like, well, that can't be him. And
no, it's him.
Some of this stuff was like high athleticism, right?
He's got a amateur wrestling background.
Oh, okay.
Which helps him.
Yeah,
and so he's got a little bit of that charisma that makes people care about him, and then he's got to be
shooting for movies at some point, I would assume, right?
I don't know.
I don't mean necessarily like The Rock, but I mean, man, this is pretty cool to climb the way he has in the fighting part of it. And, you know, and then to go into and he's also the perfect person because there is an absolute love him or hate him with him. Is there not?
Yeah, they actually had him in as a heel because they knew people would boo him because he's like a YouTuber trying to pretend that he's any good. But the second that he's wrestled now a couple of matches.
Okay.
People have started to appreciate that he's he's really good, and he's kind of taken it seriously. Yeah. And I don't know a lot about Bad Bunny, the musician, but apparently, like, worldwide, very popular over the last few years. Okay. He also came into wrestling, and it was like, oh, man, I got these stupid music people coming in and ruining my, I'll call it sport, but my form of entertainment. And then Bad Bunny comes in, and he tears it up.
Oh, okay.
It's like he's been doing it for 10 years.
That's awesome.
So anyway, yeah, but it's the entrance music and the theatrics of it all.
Yeah, and then you have to get in and perform. Like you said, there's been other celebrities that have been put in at times, and usually during a tag team where they don't really do anything, right? You kind of fall on the guy.
Yeah.
Where are these guys? And the series of moves and coming off of those ropes, and again, fine line between making it look good, but a big part of your job is making sure the other athlete doesn't get hurt, right?
That's the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That those guys are in there. And the reason why people don't want to work with them is not because of all the success and that they're celebrities. It's because to be properly trained, that is the number one thing. You look after the other guy to make sure that he does not get hurt. When it comes to like entrances, and you must have had that as a kid, like rolling out onto the ice with music themes and different music rolling out on the ice.
Oh, absolutely.
When you played?
Well, you know what? You go back to minor hockey, Lee, and it was really just more of the buildup was, you know, you'd play the dressing room music. And I went right from midget hockey to major junior, and it was such a big change because, first of all, you had the music, but, you know, in minor hockey, you don't have much of a warm-up. And so you do the warm-up and the warm-up music, and then to come out, can't remember if we had Hell's Bells or, what, you know, something's fairly standard. But, yeah, it was a pretty big deal. I got to say, as a goaltender, though, like, I didn't feel much of that in a sense of, it couldn't help me good or bad. You know what I mean? Like I was either feeling it or I wasn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
What usually affected me, and I never seemed to play well, was when Lyndon Sluage would do the national anthem in the Sioux. You know, that was usually, the sign of bad things to come. But as far as the music, it was as much the, like, I remember back to minor hockey, going to Earl Armstrong Arena, just when the door opened and you heard the music,
mm-hmm.
that was almost exciting to be, you felt like you were part of a club, right? Remember going to tryouts and, you know, my first couple of years of Bantam, didn't know if I'd make it, and then in midget hockey, and it really is the memory of you're part of something, right? And that becomes, I think looking back, probably the dressing room music meant a lot more, whereas a goaltender, you're kind of out in your own little world when warm-up starts.
So let me ask you now, in the NHL, would you prefer a team to have, when somebody scores, would you prefer it to be the same song no matter who on the ice scores? So if the Senators get a goal at home, the same song plays in the arena? Or would you like an individual goal song that if Josh Norris scores a goal, he gets his own song, so you know when it goes off in the arena that it is a Josh Norris goal?
I don't need to know because we know, Lee, but to kind of have a variation of it, there's no doubt. I loved in L.A. when they do the We Love L.A. You know, I do think it gets a little old after a while. And now if you're on a good team and you're scoring a ton, I don't know what it was like back in the day with the old pizza line. But, no, I think that would be pretty cool. Now, would you have to – I guess you'd do it for every single guy. Why not? So, no, and as long as the people working up top, which I know at the Sens game, the games, they do a great job, Lee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. You know, and trying to think of – and one of the cooler things, and it had not music-related – but I loved how Derek Jeter, the last few years of his career, his introduction, the PA announcer had passed away, right? But they had used a tape of it to introduce him. I thought that was just really, really cool, right? And you know, I don't know what they've done for batters. Batters have had songs in
walk
MLB.
Out music.
Yeah, yeah.
And
oh, I think that's awesome, too. You know,
they have individual.
And it feels like it has to be for a good player, though. You know, I don't feel like I need that for that Jansen guy when he comes out. If it's for Vladdy, you know, and knowing Vladdy, he'd probably dance out to the music, but I think that would be fun.
I know Kirk's walk-up song has gained a lot of popularity within the fan base.
I'm too sexy for my, hey?
It should be.
What is his music? Do you know what his music is, Cam? Kirk's?
It's just, it's more like the beat of it, it's not like a, it's not a really a popular song.
I'm a big fan, though, Simmer, of individual goal songs because he had Beautiful Day play for Alfie when he scored, and like it just went off in the rink when Daniel Alfredson scored a goal. My favorite was Antoine Vermette scored, and it was Loving Every Minute of It by Loverboy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you kind of knew that it was Vermette, and he didn't score that much, and
And they can be fun. They can be, you know, it can be kind of, hey, tailored around the player. I just
save
think
a horse, ride a cowboy of Chris Phillips.
Yeah, and I think of how cool it is with, you know, St. Louis coming up with a cheesy song like Gloria.
Yeah.
And every time that song comes on now, yep. I just think of the St. Louis Blues. Any of that stuff that bonds. I saw where the Orioles have some little chain that they put around their necks after they, and we've seen with Otto with the biking helmet, and I think it's great what the Blue Jays do with the home run coat. Like any of the little bonding stuff or attachment to players or anything else, Lee, I think becomes a great thing for any sport, interaction between athletes and fans.
Well, Simmer, you're going to have to do double duty here on your birthday.
Yeah, not too bad, though. Yeah. Get a good nap in, good workout in, and enjoy a little World Junior tonight. No one have a whole lot more going on, so why not watch a little Canada versus Latvia?
Well, it's
going
to be you and Jim Taddy handling that. 5:30, the pregame, 6 o'clock, Canada plays Latvia, and you'll do some postgame duties as well with Jim Taddy. Have a great birthday, Simmer.
Yeah, thanks very much, brother. Enjoy the day, both of you. It looks like beauty weather, and we'll see you back tomorrow, and can talk a little World Junior.
Yeah, it should be great. And looking at Ridly Gregg and Zach Ostapchuk, Ottawa Senator prospects that will be involved with Team Canada tonight against Latvia again. The face-off at 6 o'clock tonight. Thank you very much, Cam, for all of your help. And it will be AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Matt Conisvita with you 2 to 5:30 coming up this afternoon to lead you into that pregame show with Sean Simpson and Jim Taddy. Have yourselves a great day. We're back tomorrow on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.